There's just two things I want to mention today. Each year, the Epiphany begins one of those named weeks called National Migration Week, dedicated to highlighting the situation of immigrants and refugees and people surviving human trafficking. And it's a time especially to pray for them. It happens now because Epiphany, at the, you know, we just hear this reading about the Magi traveling from the east all the way to Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And so starting with their travels, this week is dedicated to people who are constantly having to travel. The church actually has a special office dedicated to this type of people. It's called, big long name, the Pontifical Council for the Pastoral Care of Migrants and Itinerant Peoples. This office, this council, is especially concerned with, and this is the list, quote, migrants, exiles, refugees, displaced people, fishermen and seafarers, air travelers, road transport workers, nomads such as gypsies, circus people, fairground workers, pilgrims and tourists, as well as those categories of people who for various reasons are involved in human mobility. So, for some of these people are on the move for political reasons, war, persecution. Some of these people are on the move for economic reasons. They work. They work in a circus. And the pilgrims, included in this list, they're doing it for religious reasons. In any case, these people don't have the stability of belonging to, like, a parish church or a village or a community that doesn't go anywhere. And yet, they still have babies who need to be baptized. They still have people who need to be married. They need to have funerals. They need to have access to all the other aspects of the church that we who live in a place can get right where we are in solid buildings. But people on the move, you know, the circus has tents and the migrants perhaps don't even have that. As a local expression of this, we have our own little travelers fund here that we hold jointly between us and the Methodist Church, which we use when people come through town and they need a bite to eat, or they need some gas, or they need a room for a night or something. And people give generously to that little fund, and then we pay out of it a little bit to people who need it. But that's... So there's a special care for people who are on the move that the church is aware of. Okay, second thing. Let's talk about these travelers in Matthew's Gospel here. What do you notice about them? Or better yet, what do you notice about them that there's no mention of? They don't have... There's no Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar. There's also no mention of them being... They're not... Even though we love singing, we three kings and glory and dark, but there's no mention of them being kings. There's no mention that there's three of them. And we have our, you know, nativity scene with these three king-looking figures, and they have... They're different skin tones, indicating they're from different, maybe three different places, three different kings of three different countries. There's no mention of them that they came from many different countries either. We just hear that there are three gifts, and that they are magi, that they are wise people. They may have been part of a king's court. Like they could be like the court Magi in Persia or in Syria or something, and they may have even come like on behalf of their king, or they may and because they bring these rich gifts with them too. But there's no mention of that. So what sort of people are these Magi? I've been reading this chapter of this book from Pope Benedict's book on the infancy parts of the Gospels, and he has some some good things to say here. I just want to read a part of it. Who are these people, these Magi, who come from the land of sunrise? In the translation I just read, the Gospel says, from the east. But I guess in the original, Pope Benedict's better translation is, from the land of sunrise. It still means east, it's a prettier way of saying it, I guess. But it's kind of unfortunate that the translators don't always get all the words in that that the Gospels have in it. But anyhow, so what sort of people are these who set out on the path to the king? They could have been astronomers, but not everyone who had, but not everyone who could predict and observe the stars and planets would have associated this with a king in Judea who held some significance for them. Before the star could convey a message to these astronomers, there had to be a promise in circulation. We know that speculation was rife at the time that the ruler of the world would come from Judah. All kinds of factors could have combined to generate the idea that the star contained a message of hope. But none of this would have prompted people to set off on a journey, unless they were people of inner unrest, people of hope, people on the lookout for the true star of salvation. The Magi were not just astronomers. They were wise. They represent the inner dynamic of religion towards self-transcendence, which involves a search for truth, a search for the true God, and hence philosophy. Wisdom seeks understanding in its fullness, and so raises reason to its loftiest possibilities. So we could say that these Magi represent the religions moving toward Christ, as well as science. In a way, they are the successors of Abraham, who set off on a journey in response to God's call. In another way, they are the successors of Socrates, and his habit of questioning above and beyond conventional religion toward the higher truth. In this sense, these figures are forerunners, preparers of the way, seekers after truth, such as we find in every age. So what is Pope Benedict getting at here? No one goes on a journey. No one takes a trip. No one moves at all, except because they need to get something that they don't have where they are. You need food, you go up and get to the kitchen. You get up and go to the kitchen. You want to satisfy your curiosity and see one of the wonders of the world. Maybe you have a desire to see beauty. You take a trip to Niagara Falls, or hike up a mountain, or go to an art gallery or something. You're looking for something that you don't have right where you are. You need to know more about God. You go on a pilgrimage. This is what makes these travelers different from others. From those who travel to escape violence, from those who travel because they work in the circus or something, or because they're fishermen. They're not on a journey looking for escape or looking for a paycheck. They're looking for God. They are hoping to have a deeper understanding of who God is as a result of this trip, as a result of this pilgrimage. Now, what do the Magi find when they get there? Stable, with animals in it, and two people and a baby, and two people who weren't even married when the baby was conceived. It doesn't seem very kingly. But here's the thing about the Magi. They are wise. They are people both of reason and of hope. Their sciences have brought them here, to Bethlehem. And their humility, their awareness of their own limitation and the limitedness of their own understanding, causes them to stay and to know that there's something more than just what they're seeing with their eyes. And their hope for what the new king promises causes them to bring these gifts and to give these gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, not very practical gifts for a mother with a baby, very practical gifts for God. And for this reason, people even today go on pilgrimages because they hope to find God and they hope to bring their gifts and they hope to learn something about God as a result of it. People go to Jerusalem, or go to Rome, or go to any shrine, not as tourists, but as pilgrims. And as pilgrims, for a while, they don't belong to a parish. They don't belong to any local place. They just belong to the whole big church. So we should be like the Magi. We should also be pilgrims, constantly journeying towards God. And in recognizing that we are travelers ourselves, even if we don't go anywhere. That we are travelers and pilgrims moving, hopefully, toward God. We should recognize that also in other people. Especially in those people that we pray for this week, these migrants. And especially those people who come through town for something, traveling somewhere else, but looking for at least a bit of welcome while they're here. Because ultimately, they too ideally, hopefully, are looking for God and looking and finding God in the unexpected places.